It's fun to be raining, I do.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the first episode of 2012. Oh my gosh. Hope you've had a good couple of weeks. Of course, I have not been here because first there was Christmas on a Sunday and then New Year's Day on a Sunday. So, of course, they wouldn't let me on the air. But truth be told, I was not in town. I was in the South. I flew into New Orleans on December 20th, and I flew home just a couple nights ago. And, yes, I took Joey, the infamous Wonder Dachshund, with me. It's the first time I've ever traveled with a dog, and he was in the cabin with me. I would not – first of all, Southwest Airlines doesn't accept dogs in cargo, bless their hearts, and I would never put a dog in cargo. So he was under the seat in front of me. He did so well, and we left – almost famous. There were one last day when I was in Hattiesburg, not long before we came home, somebody came up to us, this little bistro where we were having lunch, and yes, they do have bistros in the South. And they said, "Is that Joey? We heard about him." So the people in the South absolutely love dachshunds, and they really love long-haired dachshunds. That was very interesting. But there were a lot of interesting things about both New Orleans and Mississippi. And if you haven't been to New Orleans, you just owe it to yourself to go. There's no other place like it, really. It's a convergence of so many things, and I'm always sad to leave. And I'm also always sad for a few days once I get here, because there's things in New Orleans, and there's aspects to the personality of people who are either native or are transplants that I hate to leave. And some of that even spreads out into other parts of the South. And there's just a warmth that seems to cross all boundaries. Walking down the street, and if you make eye contact with, say, the big, burly policeman who's walking in the opposite direction, he'll just wink at you and say, "Baby, you have a nice morning." And it just makes everybody feel good. Strangers are calling you baby and honey and sweetie and all that all the time. And they're flirting. And they're flirting not in that means-to-an-end kind of creepy way that makes you feel all icky, but the kind that just loves life. I had more conversations with strangers in my 16 days in the South than I probably had in the last 5 years. And I come home and I realize that that's the one reservation I've always had about California. And there's a sort of distance out in the commons, not among friends, but among strangers. And today I was at the farmer's market, got there pretty early, 10:30, not quite as early as I like to be there. But yes, I have jet lag. And several times I thought something was wrong with me. And it's like, am I being rude? I'm not a rude person, but did I just do something? And I just found the people that I didn't know, not the vendors, because vendors are wonderful, but I found people shopping really kind of distant. And if you stood a little close to the too close from their point of view, you just get a dirty look rather than, hey, great morning, or whatever. And, you know, that's always been a problem in California. There's a lot of jokes about it. And it makes me sad for my home state, because I really love this place. But I noticed it, and I always come back from the South thinking, okay, I'm going to talk to strangers. I'm going to be really friendly. And then I just end up retreating back into my shell because I feel awkward and inappropriate. Anyway, I guess that's my little rant. If you do go to New Orleans, check my blogs in the next few days, because I'm going to be posting some photographs and talking about some of the things I ate. Oh, the oysters are so good right now. They're just spectacular. And there were signs everywhere, all over New Orleans, so, and Mississippi for that matter. Salty oysters. Oysters are back. So the problems that were associated with the Gulf, and, you know, a lot of oyster beds were closed. They are just back. Big, plump, crisp, succulent, and delicious. They're $12 a dozen. Here you get, I mean, you might pay anywhere from $2 to $3 or even $3.50 in some places for each oyster. But in New Orleans, the most common price is $1 a dozen. On Christmas night, we sat up on the second balcony of a place called Royal House. And, man, it is right in the heart of Tourist Central, right in the middle of the French Quarter. But because we were willing to sit outside, it was just us for a while. And the balcony is like, if you're too big, you wouldn't fit on the balcony, I'll tell you. It's a really, really narrow big enough for one person. So we turned our chairs, and we had four dozen oysters between the four of us, and drank two bottles of a pretty good Sauvignon Blanc sea glass from Napa, and then went for a really long walk. And the restaurant where we were going to actually have our dinner had closed early, so we went back to Royal House and had dinner. And it was just a great Christmas night. Ate oysters in a lot of places. Pascal Manali's, probably. They claim to have invented garlic shrimp. You know, big sign. We served the first garlic shrimp ever. We went there on our first night and came back for our last night and ate lots and lots of oysters. And took Joey to Cafe Du Monde. He was so cute that they didn't make me leave him outside where the other dogs had to stay. Got to stay on my lap. And he was actually quite interested in the beignets. And boy, there's just nothing like beignets and coffee at Cafe Du Monde. And then almost across the street, sort of kitty corner and down, about four businesses, is the famous Central Grocers, which claims there's a big sign hanging, you know, sort of across the sidewalk that says home of the original muffaletta. And that's where people line up out the door to buy the muffalettas. The muffalettas are all made early in the morning, and they're just putting them in bags, and they're not very nice to you. You know, I sort of wonder if it's like Cafe Sport used to be in San Francisco. You know, Cafe Sport, people went there so that they would be insulted by the Sicilian waiters. And I couldn't find out. They're the only people that I've ever come across in New Orleans that are not friendly. But then here's the really interesting thing about this original muffaletta. Three doors down is a place called Frank's. And it's not a grocer's like Central Grocers is. It's a place you can go and you can have drinks and, you know, you can eat upstairs. But they have a very similar sign, home of the original muffaletta. And the two places badmouth each other. But it doesn't look like there's been a lawsuit. Frank's makes the muffalettas to order. And according to them, they put more meat on, more Italian salami on theirs. I had both. They're both really good. You know, they're both really, really good. To bring one home on the plane, in the end, I went to Central Grocers. Because Central Grocers doesn't leak quite as much. You know, and the olive salad, a lot of the olive oil can leak out. And it leaked through the bag when I got the one at Frank's. So I thought, you know, I would hate to be, you know, sitting up there with my dog and, you know, my computer and everything and have this double-bagged, enormous sandwich leaking olive oil. So I'll have Frank's next time I go back to New Orleans. Anyway, like I said, check my blog, Eat This Now. You find it at the Press Democrat website, because I will be Jose, there's already some stories of my adventures in Hattiesburg, in Mississippi. Some already posted, including, you know, Hattiesburg claim to fame is that Tiger Woods did his sex rehab about half a mile from where my daughter lives. And it's this weird sort of new looking brick building with no signs and no obvious entrance, and this huge sort of modern brick fence, so you can only see the tops of the buildings inside. But it's the great sex rehab facility of the South. And whoever it was, Sandra Bullock's ex-husband did his sex rehab there too. So, you know, other than me, it's also the home of the University of Southern Mississippi, but that's its claim to fame. And we had many waiters in Hattiesburg tell us, yeah, well, we've actually had good Thai food for a while. You know, Tiger Woods really liked our Thai food. And people in Mississippi didn't even know Hattiesburg existed until he came here for his rehab. So there's my adventures. You know, that's what going to the South will do, you know? It's really fun, though. I probably wouldn't go there, you know, at the peak of election season. That might be. I mean, you can go to New Orleans. I probably wouldn't go to Mississippi. Though there actually were a few Obama signs. Okay, I think we should take a little musical break, and we will come back, and we will talk to my guests who have been cracking up through this whole monologue. They're going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, Lord.
We're back, and yes, the music tonight is Clifton Chenier in honor of New Orleans. Second time I've had to leave New Orleans, just as the very first part of Carnival was getting started. It starts on Epiphany, and I left the day after Epiphany last time, and this time I left the day before, but There's always something fun going on in New Orleans. Something fun going on at the Farmer's Market in Santa Rosa and Sebastopol as well. Lots of fun things. One of them is Not Your Mama's Granola. And we have the three, I think it's the three women responsible for Not Your Mama's Granola in the room with us. It is Susie Falbo, Irene Galuli, and Whitney McAvoy. And I first got to know you guys because of shoes. Oops, I'm just breaking.
Shiny shoes.
I'm breaking the microphone here. So
I'm such a magpie. And you had those beautiful, shiny sandals.
Yeah, so we share a love of shiny shoes, or just shoes in general. So how long have you guys been doing, how long have you guys been making granola?
As a business?
As a business?
No, either way.
As
when did you start?
Just okay. October last year.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, 2010.
Oh, really? God, I just feel like you're such a fixture. You know, I thought that I...
No, we... October 2010, we did our first farmer's market.
Oh, okay. So, oh, so you're really newcomers.
Right. Brand new.
How did this start?
30 years ago.
30, more than 30 years ago now. My husband and I had backpacked around the world, and we were in Australia.
I should say, this is Whitney McAvoy talking.
And we were living in Australia, and we didn't have any decent breakfast food, so I started making granola. And my husband's a creature of habit, and he eats the identical recipe 32 years later.
I know a lot of people that eat the exact same thing
every single day. And then all my children, and then I met Susie 28 years ago. We brought our children up together, and then I met Irene, and introduced Irene to Susie, and we all homeschooled our children together.
Where were you then?
Santa Rosa.
Oh, in Santa Rosa. Okay.
Yes, yes. And they ate granola forever and ever. And our children always said, "Why don't you start a business?" As if with eight children between us, we had all the time in the world. And we were homeschooling them. But then they all grew up and they left, and we were very bored. And we were floating in the pool in Mexico saying, "Let's start a business. Yes, we should start a business. No, maybe next year. Maybe next year." And then 2010, we said, "Okay, let's enter the harvest fair and see what the reaction is." So we did, and we got first, second, and third prize. So we said, "Okay, maybe we should start a business." And then Paula Downing, who runs both the markets, out of the blue, just called us and said, "I have a couple of slots before the end of the year." And I think we...
Sebastopol.
Yeah, I think we had 2 weeks from the harvest fair till we were at our first market.
We had nothing.
We had no... We didn't have business permit. We didn't have anything. But we got it together, and we were there in 2 weeks.
Paula is so great. She is such a great market manager.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I wonder how she found. I wonder if she just read through the awards or something.
Well, I had asked her to consider us, but
okay.
She had no particular reason.
I mean, we hadn't applied or anything.
No, we just asked, and she had some openings, so she called us and gave us a chance.
Well, you know, she's really good at creating balance in her markets.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She looks for that, and, you know, she always jokes around about how bad her memory is, and I don't believe
Mm-mm.
her. Not at all. Not at all. So
we had 2 weeks to go from three housewives to trying to make a business.
Uh-huh. So now, when you were raising your kids and feeding them all granola, had you begun to make granola together?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
all right.
But no, I like
primarily
a business.
Lived on Whitney's granola early in our years. I mean, whenever I went to Whitney's, she had this like incredible. The original was always there, and she was When we first met, she hadn't been in this country that many years, and she was amazed at all the sugar in the cereals that were in the stores.
Oh yeah,
it's
horrible.
Horrible, shocking,
horrible breakfast food.
It is.
And I'm from Indiana, so of course there's sugar in the cereal. You know?
What else would there be?
So that was like, I don't know, 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
that I was trying her granola, the original. And from there, you know, we just periodically get together and we get together more than that. But, I mean, we would put recipes together and try different things and talk about different things.
Mm-hmm. Were you immediately successful at the farmer's market? People
yes.
just interested
yes.
right away?
Yes,
well,
actually.
Our very first farmer's market, I happened to not be in town. I left them our very first debut and it poured rain.
It did.
And they were stormed.
In October. It poured rain.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a great success.
Well, all our kids came.
I know.
And we must have had 5 or 6 kids and boyfriends of kids, and they came and helped us out, and it was a great market.
It's but fun. It's
it
a
was.
Lot
it
of
was
fun.
Great
That's
fun.
What we discovered.
It was yeah. fun. It was, and it's still fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about... Well, I see that you brought some good granola, but let's talk about the specifics and go back with the original.
The original.
I have to tell you, I love the logo. It is just such a great photograph. So, a woman from
the
40s, maybe?
This is my mother's prep school roommate.
Oh, wow.
So we
Phyllis.
Went, Phyllis. And my son was looking to help us do a logo and was looking through the old album and did some Photoshop work with it. Uh-huh. And we put it together from there.
Well, it's wonderful.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Yeah, love that picture.
So Phyllis, yeah, it reminds me a little bit, and I'm not sure why, because she doesn't really look like Rita Hayworth, but it makes me think of...
It's exactly the era. You're
the right
yeah.
era. And right. I love Rita Hayworth. So what's in the original?
Oats. Well, the almost everything in the original is organic, except the almonds and the honey is not certified organic.
Okay.
But there's oats, honey, non-GMO canola oil, almonds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds,
cranberries,
golden raisins, and raisins.
Good.
Well, I've only been making it for 32 years. I should be able to remember.
Now, does it work? Do you the oats, you toast them?
Yes. Yes, you put the liquids on the oats and the nuts and the seeds, and you mm-hmm. toast them.
So you toast everything together, except mm-hmm. the raisins and the cranberries?
Except the fruit.
Except the fruit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn it about 10 times
uh-huh.
in a baking.
So,
right.
so you do it in the oven or in
yeah, a convection oven and cookie
convection
sheets.
Oven. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. One sheet at a time.
Okay.
And then you... turn it and turn it and turn it.
Uh-huh.
And then when it's cold, you put the fruit in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You women, I think, will appreciate this story. Downtown Bakery mm-hmm. and Creamery, do you know?
Yes.
Yes.
Their granola?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed the label?
Yes.
Well, they tell it. It's homemade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But H-O apostrophe made. So it's like... homemade. And they will sometimes hear customers look at us, look at that. They misspelled homemade.
Gee, we can't spell either.
So, yeah, we've got homemade. I should say that silly. Homemade granola up in Healdsburg. And now we have not your mama's. So that is really great. Now, so you have the original. And is the original... than the base for all the different ones that you
no.
do?
No.
Okay, let's
no,
talk
no,
about
no,
that.
No. This we now have 6 different granolas. We have the all-organic original, which everything in the all-organic is organic. Imagine that. we have the cardamom apricot.
Yes, I tasted that today. That was really nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. Last year when we entered the harvest fair, the cardamom apricot took first place.
Oh, congratulations.
And we took a silver this year,
uh-huh.
silver medal on that one. And we have the blueberry ginger, mm-hmm. which uses 4 different styles of ginger.
Wow.
Who knew?
I love ginger. Absolutely love it. And then dried blueberries, of course.
Yeah.
Do you dry them yourselves or can you buy? So you can buy dried blueberries.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you can.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't use freeze-dried fruit. Most mm-hmm. granolas have freeze-dried fruit. Mainly because I think they taste like cardboard.
Yeah, freeze-dried fruit
is
kind of
dry.
Yucky. Yeah.
And yeah. So it is a challenge because we use moist,
mm-hmm.
dried
right.
fruit to not have the granola go sticky.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real challenge.
What do you have to do? Do you have to then dry the fruit a little bit more?
No, you just have to make it very
seal
fresh.
The bag.
Oh.
Seal the bag, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to keep it fresh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because freeze-dried fruit to me doesn't taste like fruit.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. And most granolas have that because it gives a very long shelf life.
Yeah. Right. I think most freeze-dried foods don't taste like foods.
No.
Now, for a long time, the only green peppercorns that you could get in this country, you could get the brined in a jar.
Yeah. Which,
that's one thing, but that's a pickled thing.
Yes.
But you could only get freeze-dried green peppercorns, and they're awful.
Yeah,
they're
they
not
don't
pepper.
Taste,
and plus, they turn to dust.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then we started... they're hard to get, but I know that in Malaysia, the pepper marketing board, which is not what it seems, they actually produce peppers, and they're producing a wonderful hard green peppercorn that actually has texture and taste.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's not brined.
No, it's not brined.
Oh.
I will try to remember to bring some to the farmer's market. I brought 10 pounds of each back with me. I'm now out of the... I have... half a pound of the black left, and no one is importing it at this point.
Really?
It's really sad because it's the best pepper in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely the best pepper in the world. Anyway, back to granola. So you have the cardamom apricot.
Right. The all-organic.
The all-organic.
And the blueberry ginger. We also have the apple cinnamon. And currently we're using Nan Kohler from Lands' End. There in Occidental, we're using her dry farmed Gravenstein apples. They are beautiful. And a Vietnamese cinnamon. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that just took the double gold at the harvest
fair. Oh, it did? Wow.
Yeah.
I know. We were so excited.
Congratulations. That's great.
That.
And Nan has great products.
Mm-hmm.
She does. Really does. You know, she's a witch. In that good way. You know, I always think of her as
a
good witch. Yeah, a good witch, a white witch. I think there's something magic about her hands, about her sensibilities. I know when I was getting ready to go on my trip, oh, God, I got a horrible cold just a few days before I was going, and I was at the market on Sunday, and she gave me a quart of that, almost like an herb agua fresca that she's making.
I've seen it there.
And I've been in the habit for a long time of always having a cup of it. And she says, take this home. Don't eat anything all day. And it's like, but I just bought curried chicken from Lata. She says, okay, have the curried chicken. Don't eat anything else. And just drink all of this. And it really did something. But, you know, I didn't get over my cold. I'm still not all the way over it. But it got me over that, you know, the part of the cold where you want to die?
We all had it.
Okay, it got me over that part. Way faster than normal.
Good.
So, you know, by the time I left, I didn't really feel bad.
Wow.
So, I just think of Nan as magic. And her everything, her eggs are intensely delicious. So her dry farmed apples.
Mm-hmm. Gravenstein.
They're intensely flavored.
Incredible. They're really incredible. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take another little musical interlude here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back with more talk and more giggles.
I'm gonna leave you. I'm gonna
Listening to Mouthful. Happy New Year. Have I said that yet? 2012. How did that happen? My guests sitting left to right, so you can look closely and see them, see their smiling faces. Susie Falbo, Irene Galuli, and Whitney McAvoy of Not Your Mama's. And it's not even Not Your Mama's granola. It's Not Your Mama's with a beautiful Phyllis on the bag. So you can buy them at, you can see them at farmers markets in Santa Rosa and Sebastopol. Anywhere else?
Not right now.
Not right now. Okay. You didn't? Did you do Windsor?
We did Rohnert Park, Napa. Santa Rosa, Sebastopol.
The Wednesday night market.
And the Wednesday night market.
Okay. So, yeah, we did see you at some other places. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah.
So, we left off with, I think, the... I don't know. We left off with a granola, but we didn't go all the way through the list.
Right. I think we didn't cover the orange cherry.
Oh, orange cherry.
Which is our newest.
Uh-huh.
And the orange cherry, we actually crystallize organic orange peel ourselves, and we make our own orange essence with the organic oats and the honey. Now, remember, none of our granolas have sugar, dairy, wheat, salt, or fillers.
So, no sugar.
No dairy, no
wheat,
no salt, no fillers.
Cool. So tell me about the sour cherries.
We get those from a supplier, and they're too big, so we have to hand cut each cherry.
So we need to be committed.
Yes. Yeah. So we get a lot of things like that. The ginger. Susie has a 94-year young grandmother who is perfectly happy to sit and chop up pounds and pounds of crystallized ginger for us into tiny little pieces.
That is a hard thing to do. I've done it.
It is.
It hurts your hands. And she's 94 and she just flails away and gets
and
it done.
Pounds and pounds and pounds.
She's great.
Every now and then, and I mean like every now and then, like once every 3 or 4 years, I make my triple ginger chèvre tart.
Oh.
And I have to chop about... maybe a third of a cup.
Oh,
it will get really cranky.
She'll do 3-4 pounds of it at a time.
What's her name? You don't have to give me your phone number. I'm curious. What's her name?
We refer to her as
Mary. Shira, Princess of Power.
What a great... That's fabulous.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's wonderful.
So let's recite them all again. Let's see how good I do. There's the original... organic. Mm-hmm. There is the cardamom apricot. There's the apple cinnamon. Mm-hmm. There is the blueberry ginger. There's the orange and sour cherry. I'm missing one.
No. That's it.
Oh, I thought there's six. And the original. And remember, there's the all organic original and the original.
Okay. So original and all organic original.
I'm impressed.
Right. Okay.
Do better than we do.
It's my job. You know, I write about all this stuff, and I really hate carrying around a notebook, so I have to have a good memory. How much does your granola cost?
It's $7 a pound for all but the organic. The organic is $8.90 a pound. We also sell it in half pounds. Mm-hmm. Organic is $4.75 for a half pound, or it's $3.80 for a half pound. But what's the other thing that's unique about our booth is that we also sell the bases, which is just the organic oats and honey, organic spice, or with original. There's no spice, of course. And we bring with us jars of most of it's organic things that people can design their own granola.
Yeah.
Pumpkin seeds, flax meal. You name it.
Beautiful
banana
shaved,
chips.
Shaved coconut. That was so, I was looking at that today, and that's just so, I love shaved coconut.
So people, unsweetened.
Unsweetened, yeah.
All unsweetened.
So that means it tastes like coconut.
Yeah, it does taste like coconut.
What a concept. What are some of the more popular things, or maybe it would be more interesting to ask what some of the stranger things are.
Stranger things that we sell?
No, that combinations. People, if they're making their own granolas, are they really idiosyncratic, or do you notice certain trends? Or
they're pretty similar, except we have a little girl in the booth next to us, Kerry Williams' daughter, and she has her own blend that she makes for herself. We are not allowed to mix it for her. And it's quite interesting.
What goes into it?
Banana chips.
Lots of banana chips. Lots of banana chips and cranberries and a little bit of coconut, maybe 3 flakes of coconut. She's very specific. And toasted pecans.
Huh.
It's a very interesting.
How old is she?
She's about to be 9.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. I love precision in little kids. It's so interesting.
And I don't think you can have more than 4 flakes of coconut. That would upset the balance.
Are we talking a half pound, a pound?
Oh, no, in a half pound.
In a half? Okay.
Yeah.
But actually, where the idea for the bases that we make came from was from our kids. Because because they were so fussy, right. You know? It's like, you put coconut in it, you ruined it.
Mom,
I don't like raisins. So we thought, well, if people had an option and they could design their own granola, you know, they could either like our design or they could design their own. So
it's surprising how many people don't like raisins. It really surprised me. A lot of people don't like raisins.
I know a lot of, I love raisins. I always have. I know a lot of people, adults who, you know, ooh, raisins are yucky.
Yeah. And so they'll make their own mix without raisins. And they'll put cranberries and cherries and things like that, but not raisins.
I cannot figure out what the objection to raisins is.
Well, my eldest daughter hates raisins, and she said they taste like sweet snails.
Ew.
The texture of them is like slimy to her, is slimy and squishy, and she's hated them from the time she was tiny.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, that's a texture more than anything of them. Yeah.
But a lot of people also don't like nuts in their cereal.
Right, so absolutely.
We're working on coming up with something with no nuts.
I have the bases.
Aside from the bases, come up with a mix.
Yeah, we're working
seeds?
On.
Will they like
seeds?
Yes, we're working
on one that's going to be seeds, hopefully, and citrus, grapefruit, and lemon, and orange rind,
and
just seeds.
Yeah, I can see that working. Now, I will confess, I don't eat cereal.
Yeah, we know that.
That doesn't mean that I don't think yours is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can taste almost anything.
Yeah.
There's only a couple things. It's like, no, I won't go a couple of places, but it's really not very many. I just don't.
It's not something you do.
But I'm one of those people, I'm not much of a breakfast person.
Mm-hmm.
Only on maybe a holiday. I mean, beignets. You plunk me down.
That's a whole different world.
Yeah, you plunk me down in Café Du Monde any time of day. I will have beignets and coffee, but that's different. But normally, like I roll out of bed. I start writing. I have a very strong black pu'er tea. And I usually don't eat for several hours.
Mm-hmm. I prefer to eat like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The nice thing about granola, though, is that it's no longer just a breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You know? What are some of the other things people do with?
My husband eats it on vanilla ice cream every night. It is not a breakfast food. No.
So it's not just he eats the same breakfast every day.
No.
He has the same dessert.
He has it for dessert. He doesn't eat it for breakfast.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, he eats it for dessert. And you can't vary it at all.
But your kids are also cyclists.
Yes.
And
they eat it
really
as a trail mix.
It's a great trail mix.
Because the all-organic mix has such a high percentage of nuts and fruit, so they take it as a trail mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have people that use it as a topping on baked apples. Mm-hmm. Things like that.
What about now? I think I've heard or read some people using it to make a crust.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
A granola crust, say, yes. For cheesecake.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Or a crumble on a crumble.
Yeah.
Rips on a fruit.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So are people using yours in
yes.
that way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, particularly the cinnamon for mm-hmm. for apple desserts. Yes. Mm-hmm. They are. Quite a few people do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some of the, you guys have other ways you like to use it, non-traditional?
We like to get the stories.
Yes.
From the people that come to the market, uh-huh. and they tell us how they used it. One woman said that she had some company unexpectedly come by, and she said, all I had in the house was some apples. And she said, so I put some apples in the oven, and I had some yogurt, and I put some yogurt, and I had this cardamom base. And I just popped it with that, and they thought that I was, like, you know, expecting them or something. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can see that. And I can see my daughter, who lives in Mississippi, I can see her loving it mm-hmm. On top of yogurt, on top
yes.
of plain yogurt.
That's how most people eat it, uh-huh. is on yogurt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then...
In the car. I keep it in the car.
Yeah.
It keeps you out of the fast food lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's
very helpful to do that. It really stays with you. And uh-huh. it's an alternative when you hit that point at 3 when you've been doing errands for uh-huh. hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it'll carry you through for next
I think
hours.
The worst description of how to use it I heard was a lady who makes cream of wheat, and then she puts brown sugar on top of that and the granola on top of that, and then milk, and microwaves it all together till it's boiling hot. And I tried really hard to look enthusiastic because that sounded so foul to me.
Really, it sounds like a really bad dream.
Yeah. It's like, why would you think of doing that? But she loves it.
You know,
I'm happy for it.
I think there are probably things that I eat that people think are really, really strange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually know a way that I would really enjoy your granola, and I'm not going to say what it is.
But I've, that leaves it wide open.
Well, I don't have much of a sweet tooth, but I found something that it's like, oh, I sort of get chocolate. I'll just tell you. I get chocolate now.
Oh.
Much more, because mm-hmm. I don't really care about chocolate at all. Salted chocolate.
Yes.
It's the best chocolate
so
in the world.
It is so incredible.
It opens up this other
yes,
dimension.
It does. Yeah, it
somebody
does.
Gave me salted brownies for my birthday a couple of years ago, and I didn't want to like her, didn't want to hurt her feelings by even throwing them away, even though she wouldn't know, so I ate them. It's like,
yeah.
Whoa, okay, this is a whole different thing. So I can imagine having some granola in my car when I'm out running errands and not getting home with it, and adding a little bit of
I salt. Yeah,
she salts it.
I bet. Have you tried it with Malden salt flakes?
No.
Malden salt flakes. Diamond Crystal kosher salt.
Yes,
would be really good.
Yes,
Malden comes from England. Well, it's the same type of flake
yeah.
as Diamond Crystal,
yeah.
only they're bigger.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They're very delicate, very dry crystal,
mm-hmm.
and they're really ethereal and wonderful, and they're great on chocolate. They're great on brownies. So I
They'll
would imagine
be good on that.
Yeah.
Another
well,
weird
if you
one
put
was
the chocolate into the granola yes. with the salt.
I mean, you mix it all together.
Perfect.
Was the chap next to us who has it with kombucha instead of milk? He pours kombucha
but
on
he,
top of the granola.
He makes the kombucha.
I know, but that's a.
Now who is that? Who's next to you? And which
the.
Revive
kombucha.
Sean
our commercial
Revive.
Kitchen.
We're right
oh,
next to
him. I was going
to
say, yeah. The Revive guy's not at the farmer's market.
No.
Our kitchens are side by side.
Oh, so where's that?
Up in Windsor, in that uh-huh. little tiny industrial area.
Now, is that a kitchen that Dominique also uses?
Yes.
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 We share
vegetables.
A kitchen.
Yeah. And Mateo.
And
we're all in the
oh,
same kitchen.
Oh, you're all
kitchen.
There in that same kitchen. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that kitchen
Sometimes
very well.
Sometimes at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
It's yeah. a ballet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to take one more little musical break, and we will be right back to wrap up another fast episode of the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
I'm going to get posse and bottle body again, Shad. Hey, man.
Mouthful. Thanks for joining us. If you are just tuning in, we are talking about Nacho Mamas. It's a granola night with Whitney McAvoy, Irene Galluli, and Susie Falbo. Now, you said something right at the beginning, Whitney. Did you say you and your husband like were backpacking around the world or something? I shouldn't have let that go by.
No, you shouldn't.
In our youth, yes. We did.
Well,
we did two trips. We drove from South Africa to London, up Africa, and then
you drove?
Yeah, in an old truck. And then and then we worked in England for a little while, and then we backpacked from England through up the Nile, Ethiopia to India, through Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, and ended up in New Orleans with $8.
Really?
I mean, Los Angeles, not New Orleans.
Oh, not New Orleans.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles with $8.
With $8. Mm-hmm.
And then what'd you do?
Hitchhiked to a place we thought was called Ukiah. It turned out to be Ukiah. Because we had a friend we had met in the Sudan who was living there. And we got a ride.
I bet you have amazing stories.
Yeah.
Amazing stories. Africa just must have been astonishing.
Well, I grew up in South Africa.
In South Africa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Going through Africa is wonderful, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now my eldest daughter just, with her boyfriend, just cycled from Cairo to Cape Town. Took 8 months. And they rode their bicycles the whole way.
Wow.
Yeah.
They have
it's easier to drive a truck.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I've had some adventures, but nothing like that. That's
yeah.
Really, really something. So are you guys going to write a granola cookbook? Or a granola book?
We've never
thought about it.
I was thinking when you were saying how you love people's stories and you love collecting the stories, that immediately...
The stories. I hadn't thought about a cookbook. That
well,
might
a
be
book
fun.
With recipes.
With stories, yeah.
Yeah, stories of granola with recipes. I mean, y'all certainly seem like you have the energy to do just about anything.
That's 12 hours in the kitchen, you might realize.
How often do you have to... How often do you make a batch?
Right now, we're cooking about a day a week because we only are doing the two markets.
Uh-huh.
But for when we were doing six markets, we would cook 2 days.
2 days a week.
12-hour days.
Two 12-hour days.
Right.
We produce about 200 pounds mm-hmm. a day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right.
And you're selling that all in a
yes.
week.
Yeah.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's
a lot.
So you're making money.
We're getting strong.
Yeah, I bet. But it's, you know, you're making money.
We will make, when we go retail, we'll make more money.
Oh, so you, tell me, you're going retail?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we hope to.
We're working on it.
We're working with this wonderful, wonderful organization in Sebastopol, SEP, the Sebastopol Entrepreneur Project.
Yes.
And they're helping, they help small startup local businesses. To do what they need to do mm-hmm. in order to
take the next step.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, how great.
And they have a lot of food producers
mm-hmm.
that they work with.
And so do they help you get, like, I imagine the permitting, all that kind of stuff?
All of that, how to write business plans, how mm-hmm. to think about marketing.
Right.
How to, mm-hmm. Just all the information. If right. you're not experienced in that
sure.
field, you don't even know. We'd never heard of co-packers, private blend. We had never heard of any of that. Uh-huh. So they do that. They don't do the work for you. They show you what to do.
Right.
And it's a non-profit. They meet with you as often as you want to meet. And they're an amazing resource.
Where
are they located?
In the basement of the Methodist Church in Sebastopol.
Oh, that used to be the community center
yes.
for art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Basement. Okay, they sound like they might be good guests on Mouthful as well.
Absolutely, we're working with Captain Dave White and with Bill Seibel, and their particular skills work with what we're doing. And
yeah.
they have other people on,
quite a few food people,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
but who they have architects mm. and city. They have all kinds of talent.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, I was just noticing in the grocery store tonight. I noticed. I think it was a hot sauce company,
mm-hmm.
and it had the little Go Local sign.
Yeah.
I didn't have time because I was coming here to really read it. It's like, okay, so there's more and more Sebastopol Sonoma County producers getting out there.
Yep. Yes.
So how are they figuring this out?
Well,
that's
SEP's
really great.
Goal is to, for West County, Sebastopol right. West County, to promote particularly food,
mm-hmm.
but any innovators, designers, things like that, and they're an amazing resource.
Oh, mm-hmm. That is, I will definitely give them a call.
Yeah.
Bill Seibel has been doing classes uh-huh. through there on
how
to think about getting your product out
uh-huh.
and what the steps are for doing that,
uh-huh.
For marketing and funding and business plans. And it was fascinating.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, yeah. Great things.
Yeah. So, and Kathleen Schaefer, I think, helped to coordinate that.
She's also
with SEP.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So do you have sort of a timeline for when we might see you in stores?
We're hoping by the summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We thought we'd go faster than we did, but we all got that lovely cold that you got.
Yes.
One after the other.
Oh.
And then Christmas, so we a little back.
Sure.
So we were hoping by spring, but hopefully by summer
uh-huh.
we'll be in the stores.
And what sort of distribution are you thinking about? Bay Area?
But start local.
Just locals.
Uh-huh.
Local. To start
yeah.
with.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And will you still be the ones that are doing the cooking?
Mm-hmm.
At the
right
season.
On.
At this
yeah.
point where, yeah.
And the stirring.
And the stirring. Yes. That's really great. I love this story.
Thank you.
Let's recap a little bit. Right now, you are at the Sebastopol Farmers Market. And if you haven't noticed, the Sebastopol Market has gone year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some people, that's been a little confusing, number one, because for the month of December, first of all, it moved to the plaza itself rather than the parking lot. So some people, you know, if you move a beehive 2 feet, the bees can't find it. And I saw people walking around the parking lot. I'm like, what? Where's the market? It's like right there. And then there was no market for 2 weeks
right.
because
yes.
of the holiday.
Holidays.
So I think the market was not as well attended today as I thought it would be. So I think people, it's going to take time. Uh-huh. And right. Paula says it's going to take several years for people to get in the
really
habit
know.
Of it being year-round. Mm-hmm. So I will not feel like I'm repeating myself when I say, okay, Sebastopol Market is year-round, and I could not be happier. It is my market. And then at the Santa Rosa Market, which day?
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday. So yeah. Not on Wednesday.
No.
But every Saturday.
Every mm-hmm. Saturday.
Okay. And it's not your mama's. Lots of awards at the Sonoma County Harvest Fair. You have a website in the works.
Yes.
You've got two pages.
Yes, and we're actually meeting with somebody on Wednesday who's going to make us get a real website.
Visible. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just the fact that you have your presence there. I mean, I haven't... My website, ugh.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know, updated it in 4 years. So
oh, well, I don't feel so bad.
Oh, well, I have one little tiny technical hurdle. And, you know, one little tiny technical hurdle will slow
just
you down.
Stop you.
And yeah. I know how to solve it, and I don't have the 8 to 10 hours that I need to solve it. Right. So I'm actually thinking maybe one of the things I'm going to do is, you know...
Get a professional.
Find somebody who might want to trade for wine or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not making a fortune at this point. So anyway, thanks to all of you. Let me introduce you again. We have Susie Falbo, the one who loves shiny shoes.
we have
Whitney McAvoy, who like has driven a truck all around the world. And then we have Irene Galluli, who salts her granola. So, right on, women. You guys are really great. I will see you at the farmer's market. Next week, we're going to be doing something we haven't done before. We're going to have somebody from Francis Coppola Winery here, but also, I hope, a couple of other wineries, because there's something new happening. Coppola and a number of other wineries have put in charging stations for electric cars. So we're going to be looking into the future of, you know, driving around the wine country. I think it's a great idea. So meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. Have a great week.
To the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We've got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. Time for dinner, now let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says.
To the Lord, let praise be.
Let it be.
It's time for dinner, now let's go.
We got some beans.
We got some beans and good cornbread.
Good cornbread.
Listen to what the preacher says.